Let's meet the Republican candidates in the Senate District N. We'll start with Joe Arness. 1 minute, an opening statement, sir.
Well, greetings. Thank you to KAKM for having this forum. My name is Joe Arness. I am a 61-year resident of Nikiski, just north of Kenai, and the sort of the opposite end of the brand new District N. Currently a setnetter in Cook Inlet and a real estate broker by trade. I have 4 children, 2 of whom live in the Nikiski area, and have been on local governing boards for the last 22 years on the peninsula. The new district opened up. Seemed like a reasonable thing to involve myself in this race, and so I'm here this afternoon.
Now let's meet Kathy Giesel for 1 minute. An introduction. Well,
good evening. I'm State Senator Kathy Giesel. I've served in the State Senate for the last 2 years. By profession, I'm an advanced nurse practitioner. My master's degree is from the University of Alaska Fairbanks. I'm board certified nationally in family practice. My main goal in the State Senate was to address 3 things that are of paramount importance to my district: the cost of energy, the resource development and jobs that it provides, and our economy. So those were my main focus. Though I come with expertise in healthcare, I actually requested to serve on the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee because that committee dealt with these 3 key issues. I also had the privilege of serving on the State Affairs Committee. I'm looking forward to continuing my work on cost of energy, resource development, and jobs in this new district.
Thank you very much. Now we'll turn to the journalist candidates, and I'll have the first question for Mr. Arness. In your voter pamphlet statement, you said that you want to remove impediments to business. What are the impediments? How are you going to do that? You have 45 seconds.
Well, the first and foremost impediment to business in the state of Alaska, or at least to big business in the state of Alaska, is the oil tax structure. That needs to be streamlined and simplified and reduced. The other issues that you run into in dealing with the state of Alaska are licensing and regulatory issues that, because the state of Alaska was ranked, 47 in the business-friendly ranking, I think that's a pretty good indication that the state could do a much better job of being business-friendly and encouraging small businesses, which are, in fact, the backbone of any economy.
Kathy Giesel, would you like to comment for 30 seconds on what you've heard or follow up on that?
Well, I'll just give you my opinion of that question. The most critical issue to the folks, the citizens that live in my district, is assuring that there is good volume of oil traveling through the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. This pipeline is the lifeline for our state. It provides 93% of the revenue that supports our state government and, in turn, supports jobs for our citizens.
Okay, Daisha Eaton.
This is a question for Ms. Giesel. You say we must reduce duplicate regulations. Can you name one specifically that you plan to target and explain why you will target it?
Where did I say that?
I believe it was in your voter statement that you believe there are some duplicate regulations.
I'm going to tell you I don't know that that's accurate.
Okay, are there duplicate regulations that you can think of?
There may be. I guess one that I would think of is our Coastal Zone Management Program, which of course we don't have right now, was actually a duplication of other permitting processes that we have on the state level. So that would be one example.
Thank you.
Okay, you have 30 seconds. You'd like to comment on that?
I wouldn't necessarily, because I don't know that I could draw up any examples.
Okay. my question is now for Kathy Giesel, and it's the coalition question. Many Republicans are running against the coalition, and this sort of almost begs the question, are the American people yearning desperately for more partisanship? 45 seconds.
Well, Michael, I think your question actually pertains to
the
functionality of the Senate bipartisan coalition. I did not join that coalition. I had promised my constituents that I would not. The coalition has some very polarized views that are not ones that I share, and so I chose not to join them. But I also worked the entire session, both legislative sessions, with people on both sides of the aisle, actually in both bodies, both the House and the Senate. I got some significant legislation passed by working across the aisle.
Hey, Mr. Arness, you have any thoughts on this topic?
I think your question was phrased in an interesting way. No, I do not believe that the citizens of the United States are craving more partisanship. I believe that certainly on the national level and even on the statewide level, we would all, not all, there is a large volume of us who would like to see people come together who have differing opinions, differing views, try and sort through those and come out with good public policy.
Daisha Eaton.
This is a question for Mr. Arness. What is your view on oil taxes? And please explain.
I'm very clear. I believe that the state of Alaska is currently in the process of strangling the golden goose. Anytime that you have a legitimate legal activity that you want to encourage and yet you're taking 80% of the net profit out of that activity as a state, you're certainly not encouraging that activity. I think that we need to take a good hard look at that. Oil prices have been high. Would have been a great opportunity for expansion of activities on the slope. They did not expand because the profit just wasn't there for the people who were investing the money and taking the risk. So I think we need to take a real hard look at that and reduce them.
Okay. Kathy Giesel, 30 seconds. You'd like to comment on what you just heard.
Well, the oil tax structure that we have in Alaska needs adjustment. We are not competitive in a worldwide market, and that's where we're competing. These large companies develop resources all over the world. We heard from several consultants this last session that we are not competitive. I believe that we need to make some adjustments. Was HB 110, the governor's bill, the answer? Possibly not. There are certainly some intermediate steps that we could take or some modification even of HB 110, and some of those ideas were put forth during the session. So I'd like to continue the discussion with all the stakeholders.
Okay. I'll ask some questions now. You'll each have 30 seconds to respond. First question will be for Mr. Arness, and then you'll have the same question. The United States and the state of Alaska have invested large amounts of money on the war on drugs. Are we winning or losing the war on drugs?
Actually, I think we're losing the war on drugs. I think there needs to be a hard look taken at just what is that war consist of and what is the ultimate goal of it. I think we spend way too much money on our prison population when a big chunk of that population is comprised of people who are in there for drug offenses, and I think, in effect, we shoot ourselves in the foot. I don't know that I have the answer, but I don't think we're winning.
Okay, Kathy Giesel.
Thank you, Michael. This last session, I was the prime co-sponsor with Senator Meyer and Senator Olson on the bath salts bill. This would make illegal that recreational drug that is referred to as bath salts, but it is certainly a synthetic form of cocaine. These are very serious substances that are being sold in tobacco shops. I think we need to continue to pursue that. But ultimately, the bottom line is we need to give folks a reason not to turn to substance abuse.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll go back to you for this question. what can the state do, if anything, to help lower the costs for the citizens of Alaska of medical care? And I know you have plenty of experience in this area.
Michael, this is an important question. The Health Commission of Alaska requested a report from the Milliman organization, an international research firm, and found that our costs for healthcare are anywhere from 40% to five times the cost in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, some insurers are sending their beneficiaries to the Pacific Northwest for care. The main driver of that is the cost of the physician visit, the actual services. I think we need to look at what drives those costs. Right now, that cost driver is unknown, so I'm not willing to put forth a suggestion, but I understand the issue, and I believe there's more research that needs to be done.
Mr. Arness.
You know, that's one that I'm not even going to be able to answer because I don't have near enough expertise to have a legitimate answer.
Okay, well, thank you, sir. Now we have the candidates have the opportunity to question one another. Mr. Arness, you can ask the first question of Ms. Giesel, and she'll have 45 seconds to respond, and then you'll have 30 seconds to comment on what the response is. So your question, sir.
First rule of being an attorney is you don't ever ask a question unless you know the answer. I really don't know the answer to this, but I'm not an attorney, so it's okay. As I recall, 2 years ago when you were elected originally to your Senate term, there was talk about you having been one of the people who signed a pledge to not work with Democrats. I don't know if that's true. I'm asking if that's true and whether that still applies.
Well, the answer to that question is no, it's not true. The pledge that the Republican Party requests of its candidates is, would you join a coalition that is controlled by Democrats? Not, I refuse to work with Democrats. That is completely false. I would not have been able to get the vaccine bill passed had I not had support across the aisle. There were no negative votes on that bill, either in the Senate or in the House. What I looked for is issues that we could agree on. Senator Betty Davis and I worked together on health care issues and will continue to do so.
Okay. Mr. Arness, do you have a comment, follow-up comment?
I have the information now. I did not have the information when I asked the question.
Kathy Giesel, a question for Mr. Arness.
Thank you. Well, I guess fundamentally my question would be, Mr. Arness, if you could articulate actually why it was that you chose to run, what it was that you disagreed with in terms of my positions.
You know, it's an interesting question, and I wish I had 10 minutes to answer it, but I think I can sum it up this way. I've been asked that question many times, and for me, a better question would be, why would I not choose to run? This is a brand new district. 50% of the people in that district are new to you as a senator. I live in the other half of that district. I consider myself a legitimate candidate. I did not file, as I told you on the phone, I did not file against you. I filed for a new seat, and unapologetically.
A 30-second follow-up?
Absolutely. You know, I really applaud my opponent's civic service. He's been serving on the school board on the Kenai Peninsula now for, I believe he said, 19 years prior to that on the assembly. So I really applaud his civic interest, and that's great. This is a free country, absolutely, and I welcome the competition because competition is what makes things better, and I'm a free market person.
Mr. Arness, you have a chance to ask a second question.
Okay. Kathy, I have heard you a couple of times refer to in a question about whether or not more education funding was appropriate. You referred to sort of the governor's mantra of only when we see results. As a school district, as a representative of a school district, how can I gauge that? And I guess better asked, how do you gauge whether or not progress is being made in the districts?
Boy, you know, education is almost as complicated as healthcare in terms of the cost. It's the second largest piece of our operating budget is the education budget. And yet, as I talk to small business owners who are hiring young people who just graduated from our high schools, they're throwing up their hands and saying, I have people coming and applying for jobs that can't add and subtract, can barely read. What am I supposed to do? Where will this workforce come from that I'm asking the school districts to prepare for me? So those are the basic outcomes that I'm looking for. Functional graduates.
Thank you. Mr. Arness, 30 seconds.
Well, I guess, you know, one of the things about being with a school district and in education is it is hard to establish those ground rules and set goals. However, the No Child Left Behind Act established what we all now know as AYP, Adequate Yearly Progress. By definition, if you are meeting AYP, you are improving. And so it seems it's very difficult for a district to know what it is that you're asking when you simply say, we want to see better.
Kathy Giesel, your second opportunity for a question.
Absolutely, and we'll stay on the education. No Child Left Behind actually sets some very low standards. And other states in the lower 48, it's my understanding, have higher standards than Alaska. And when we take a graduate or our results from our schools and compare it to the lower 48, we're quite a bit lower. I guess I would ask you, Mr. Arness, what your school board, the Kenai Peninsula School Board, has looked at in terms of that and how you're hoping to address that in the future.
Well, actually, you just said a lot of things, and I would like to respond to those individually, but in fact, by several definitions, our schools, our children are doing just fine nationally. Whether or not the allegation can be made anecdotally that students in one school or another might not be doing as well, but in point of fact, I just looked it up the other day on the SAT scores, which is the same test taken across the across the United States, and that's the only one I'm aware of that's like that. Alaska rates number 6, I believe, of all the states as far as production for high school graduates.
Kathy Giesel, 30 seconds.
Well, the SAT is a great test. It's for kids that are heading for college. A large percentage of our student population does not head for college. They're interested in career and technical education, which is great. But when you look at the annual yearly progress reports, Alaska has some failing schools. I believe we have some excellent teachers. I believe we have committed parents, particularly in New District N. These are families that care about their students. My concern is that we put that money into classrooms so that teachers have it and the kids have it in the classroom.
Mr. Arness, your opportunity to ask your last question.
We seem to have an education theme going, and we'll stay with it. This is another one of these I don't know the answer questions. I am told that Senator Giesel, you proposed publicly at one time that public education be privatized in the state of Alaska, and I'm curious as to whether that's true and how you would see public education as a profit-making endeavor.
I'm so glad you asked that question. You must be reading that liberal blog that put that out. The question pertained to privatization. It did not say complete privatization when the question was posed to the panel. My yes answer related to parental choice. In other words, parents being able to take the state's base student allocation for each student and to take that allocation and take it to the school that would best serve their student. Maybe they have a dyslexic child. Maybe they have a gifted child. Maybe they want to go to a particular charter school. They want to take that money and designate it. Maybe they want to go to a different public school, one that offers something different than the neighborhood school. That's what I favor.
Mr. Arness.
Actually, I think you would find that we favor the same things there. The only part of that where I get squishy is on private schools, but you find in the Kenai School District that you can send your child to any of our schools, charter, alternative, homeschool. We have several options, and they're available to all parents.
Kathy Giesel, your opportunity for a final question.
Oh, my. Well, Mr. Arness, you've said that you would be willing to join the bipartisan coalition that has been existing in the Senate for the last 2 years. And so I've read this. Let's just say I've read it. Perhaps you'd like to clarify that or flesh that out a bit.
I thanks for the opportunity. I have said in the situation where there is a 10-10 split in the Senate, so by definition there is going to be a coalition. There is going to be some mixture. I would be a part of that majority, and I would be a part of that majority because I believe that it's in that caucus room that decisions are ultimately made, not on the floor of the Senate. And if those decisions are going to be made, I choose to be part of the conversation and not sitting outside the room waiting to see what they're going to have to say.
Kathy Giesel.
My rebuttal?
Yeah.
Well, the coalition right now is actually not terribly bipartisan. It is controlled by the other party. And they have a different agenda than most Republicans. So my concern would be how you would function with a pro-development, pro-economic development agenda in that kind of a coalition. I think that it's a bit Pollyannish to think that you can make a difference in that kind of setting.
Let's stick with, now we have reporters' questions, and we'll stick with Ms. Giesel, and I'll ask the question. But one of the things I don't understand about the criticism of the bipartisan coalition is Gary Stevens is a Republican, and he's the president of the Senate. I assume he has enough influence to direct things as they go. Are you saying the Republicans are essentially helpless in this kind of organization?
Well, I think you'd have to ask them for information about the inner workings of that coalition. I can only speak from the evidence of what emerged from that coalition. You know, at one point during special session, the Senate Finance Committee had crafted a new oil tax bill, which they could not even get out of their coalition. I understand that some of the Republicans there that are pro-development, pro-economic development, were very frustrated because they were not able to move the dial or change any of the discussion. But again, I wasn't present in that room.
Okay. Mr. Arness, any thoughts?
I think that makes my point perfectly. They tried to craft new legislation. They were unable to get it out of the coalition. Who knows? Maybe with a couple more votes, they could have gotten it out of the coalition. Obviously, it was split. Specifically, again, being in the room and part of the conversation seems to me to be the correct way to approach it.
Thank you. Daisha Eaton for Mr. Arness.
Mr. Arness, both of you have talked a lot about getting more oil in the pipeline, and this is a number one priority. Many Alaskans say we do need to diversify our economy, however, and one way is through renewable energy projects. We have some going on in the region. Do you support renewable energy projects? If so, what types?
I am supportive of the concept of renewable energy. I believe the time will come when it will be make economic sense, and you know, we are sitting on the potential for a lot of it. Interestingly, just 2 days ago on the local news, there was a story about a guy who's developing a turbine to go in Cook Inlet to be run by tidal power. What an enormous source of renewable energy. And I would be all in favor of that. I'm actually kind of excited about it. I think it'll be expensive, but over the long run, that's the direction we will have to go, of course.
Kathy Giesel, 30 seconds.
Well, thanks. You know, I support hydroelectric renewable energy. It is a renewable energy source, even though the federal government does not recognize it as such. The idea of the tidal power that my opponent just brought up is actually being subsidized by the state, which concerns me greatly because it's somewhat experimental. The company that asked for that appropriation came back again this year to ask for more appropriation. So I said to them in my office, "What did you do with the money we gave you last year?" They said, "Well, we're building our company. We're working in Maine." That was the wrong answer for Alaska money.
Okay. It's my opportunity to ask a question. We'll start with Mr. Arness. What is the future of the $40 billion permanent fund? What's it for?
Well,
what's it going to be for?
Hopefully the future of the $40 billion fund is to sit there and grow and grow and grow and continue to provide the dividends that we all enjoy so much, but also to provide sort of a stability to the financial structure of the state of Alaska. I do not foresee, or I hope I don't foresee anyway, the time coming when we're going to be back to the conversation about, well, maybe it's time to tap the permanent fund to run government. I hope that we can get budget stabilized prior to that.
Not to mention giving half of it away. Remember that? Okay.
Yes.
Let's go to Kathy Giesel for 30 seconds.
Well, the positive thing about the permanent fund dividend is that it takes money out of government and puts it into the hands of the citizens who best know how to spend that money. I believe that a whole lot of the SetNet families on the Kenai Peninsula are going to be using that money to pay bills this year, as they were not able to work and earn a living this year. The permanent fund could be tapped for operations of government, but only with a vote of the people, and I think that's the way it should be.
Thank you. Desha Eaton.
This is a question for Ms. Giesel. Are state employee benefits too much, too little, or just about right, in your opinion?
Well, that is a very complex question that would require a complex answer, and I don't have all of the data with me right now. But I know our Department of Administration is looking long and hard at how to reduce the health care costs, one of the things that is breaking the back of our budget. The health care costs continue to escalate. All of us as citizens know that. Our health care premiums continue to escalate. That's why we need to drill down on why our cost of health care is so high.
Okay. Mr. Arness.
You know, the benefit package, and I'm fairly familiar with at least the school district and the teachers and administrators' benefit packages, and I'm going to presume that the state probably looks very much like it. I know they use the same retirement scheme. I think that our salaries are probably in line. I think that our benefit packages have gotten out of hand, mostly because now the legislature did the right thing and they moved away from a defined benefit retirement program. But we still have, as Kathy said, these enormous medical insurance premiums that will break the bank eventually, and that's where PERS and TERS came from.
We have time for a quick yes or no question. How are you going to vote on the Coastal Zone Initiative?
No.
No. Kathy Giesel?
No.
Okay, now we'll go to our closing statements from the two candidates, and we'll start with Mr. Arness. 1 minute or so, please.
Okay, well, I thank you for the opportunity to be here this afternoon and to come into your homes. My name is Joe Arness. I am a resident of Nikiski. I would appreciate your support on Tuesday, Senate District N, starting from South Anchorage all the way down to the highway to Nikiski to include Seward.
Okay, and Kathy Giesel, we'll go to you for 1 minute or so of a closing statement, please.
Thanks.
Last word.
All right, thank you. It has been an honor and a privilege to meet the folks in new Senate District N. Of course, I knew the Anchorage Hillside, the Turnagain Arm area, but getting to know the people in the Kenai Peninsula portion of the district has been an honor. What a wonderful community. Every community there, just wonderful strengths. I will be bringing my knowledge, skills, and experience back to this job, back to Juneau. I work hard for my constituents. I answer my own email. I will be at your doors asking you for input. If you have expertise, I want to hear from you as you input on our various bills. One of the things I focus on is pushing out information to you. So I have town hall meetings multiple times during the session and will. I will have an office in the Kenai Peninsula LIO, and I will be sending out newsletters, so you'll stay well informed. I ask for your vote.
Thank you, Kathy Giesel, and thank you, Joe Arness.